Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I want to talk this morning about giftings, about spiritual gifts, and I've kind of called it uniquely gifted. And I guess this is kind of an introduction to a little series of what we've been talking, and it's sort of, God seems to have been talking to us a little bit about spiritual gifts and gifts of the Holy Spirit and looking for those. I know on Friday nights at Breaking Intimidation, it's been a bit of a topic of conversation about how we can explore the ways that God has gifted us and how He wants us to use that within the church. Because this is one of the things that I'm absolutely convinced of, and we see through Scripture again and again, is that you're not here to be a spectator. Now, I know that there are some of you here this morning that would be very happy to be a spectator, and you'd be very happy to kind of sneak in and sit near the back and sneak out at the end of the service and not really have anybody notice you too much. And that would kind of be cool with you, but unfortunately, I have a little bit of bad news for you, that that's kind of not what God intended for you. There's more. And it's not really bad news, it's wonderful news, it's fantastic news, it's great news. Because what it means is that you have a place. And when Scripture talks about this idea that we are a body and every body part fits together and works together and has its function and has its purpose, what that means is that you are valuable. And that your gifts and who you are, actually you have a positive contribution to make to help the church to be more effective than what we can be without you. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
It's good. It's a wonderful thing. God does it by His absolute grace. Like, we don't deserve to have this place of importance within God's church. We don't. We don't deserve it. We haven't really done anything. And what we have in and of ourselves without God isn't really that bigger or valuable a contribution. But God says, I'm actually going to give you something that you didn't deserve, that you didn't even ask for. And it's going to be something that is going to be an incredible blessing so that through you other people will be blessed. All right, so we're going to talk about this whole idea of spiritual gifts so that as you begin to understand them better, you begin to identify and understand how God has uniquely gifted you, and you begin to have the confidence to step out and use those gifts, and we're all going to be blessed because of it. How does that sound? All right. So I want to start off with a scripture this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is a passage of scripture that is a very common, this is one that we talk about all the time when we talk about spiritual gifts. And Paul starts off this passage of scripture, and he's writing in response to a whole bunch of questions that the church at Corinth had sort of written to him or asked him about or passed through a messenger or what, we don't know. But the way that Paul writes and explains things, it's kind of evident that he's addressing some things that have come up. And he says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." Now, there's different translations. Now, we know that there are different translations of the Bible, right? One that you have in your hands, if you have one in your hands, might express that slightly differently. But there's kind of two kind of key things that I think that Paul is saying that we need to avoid or that he doesn't want for us. Number one is to be uninformed. And some translations say ignorant or unaware or uninformed. Okay, so uninformed. Paul doesn't want us to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. Now, what does uninformed mean? We have a lack of information. Uninformed means we don't know. Sometimes we don't even know what we don't know. We're that uninformed. But God wants us to have spiritual gifts. God wants us to, like, He's given us these gifts within us, and He wants us to actually be aware of them. He wants us to know what they are. we can't afford not to know this stuff. We've been talking about our purpose as a church and as people and the things that God has put us here for. And if we are unaware, if we are uninformed about what spiritual gifts we have and what that means and how they're to be used, then we can't function effectively in them, can we? Generally, we're not very good at doing something that we don't know how to do. Is anybody here really good at doing things they don't know how to do? Now, you might be the kind of person that is quite happy to charge in and have a go, you know, and not be too worried. And occasionally, they might work out fine. But generally, there are certain things in our life that we kind of actually need to have a bit of knowledge and understanding of before we're actually any good at it, isn't there? Any of you ever tried ice skating? I don't know why you would ever want to strap razor blades to your feet and then go out on the slipperiest surface known to man. It seems foolish to me. But there are people who have skills and knowledge about how it works and how, you know, the angles that you're supposed to put your feet at and things like that, and they just make it look easy, don't they? And they dance around and pirouette and twirl and leap and, you know, they make it look like they're standing on, you know, something that's a metre wide, not the size of a razor blade.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that we need to understand first and foremost, when I started planning about how to talk about spiritual gifts, like, here's me, like, I just want to dive in and start explaining different types and what they will mean and all that kind of stuff. And God kind of reined me back in and say, hang on a minute, we just kind of need to take a few steps back. And we need to make sure that actually we're all on the same page first. And the very first thing that God put on my heart to make sure that you understand and that you know is that you have spiritual gifts. Now, you might go, well, duh, that's obvious. But I think some of us actually don't live like we believe that. Some of us don't act like we have any spiritual gifts. And I think sometimes it's that belief that makes us want to come in and hide in the background and not say anything or not have anyone talk to us and go away because we don't feel like we've got anything to contribute. And I want to encourage you first and foremost this morning that God has given you spiritual gifts that He gave to you to bless this church. To bless the people that are sitting next to you, to bless your neighbours, to bless people that are around you in the church of God and in your life, He gave you spiritual gifts. One of the reasons that God gave you spiritual gifts is because He's your dad and He loves you. When we think about, like, as people, we inherited one of the traits from our Heavenly Father of being generous and enjoying giving gifts, don't we? Most of us, maybe. Some of us struggle a little bit more with that, but most of us at times in our life, we choose to give gifts, whether out of, you know, sometimes it's out of obligation, you know, because they gave us a gift last year and so we've got to give them a gift this year and, you know, try and work out how much it's, you know, value it's supposed to be to make sure we don't look cheap or, you know, so like, I'm not talking about that sort of obligation kind of, you know, reciprocal gift giving because we have to. I'm talking about, you know, think of a time in your life when you actually really looked for the perfect gift for somebody. Why did you want to give them that gift? Can you think of a time? Can you think of a situation in your life? What was it that motivated you to give more than just the mandatory, minimum, obligatory sort of gift? What motivated you to go above and beyond or spend that little bit extra to find that perfect gift or to spend 16 hours wandering around a ridiculously crowded shopping mall just to find that perfect gift? What motivated you? Come on, talk to me.
To see the smile.
Yep.
The giving,
yep.
Because you know the person needs what you're offering.
Yep, maybe it was a need thing. Maybe it's just because, hey. Okay,
because we love them.
Because you love them. Yeah. This is a person that you chose to give. Out of all the people that you could have given a gift to, there's like 20,000 plus people in Wyala, and out of all of those people, you know, however 25 million people in Australia, out of all the people that you could have chosen to give a gift to, you chose that person because you cared about them. Because that was a person that you love. And if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does the Father long to give us good gifts? The one who loves you more than you will ever understand gives you gifts just because he loves you. God has an amazing plan for your life. God knows you. Let's have a look at this scripture in Psalm 139. This is David, and he's writing, and he's just, you almost get this sense of like there's this overwhelming feeling of gratitude that is just pouring out of David's heart towards God. He says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me." Do you hear that? David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "God, you are thinking about me more than I could ever comprehend." Let's just apply that, because I think it's quite appropriate to apply that to us, to apply that to you. God thinks about you. And not just when you mess up. God is thinking about you, and his thoughts towards you outnumber the grains of sand. His thoughts towards you are immeasurable. This is how much God is thinking about you. God has a plan for your life. Now, it's not the kind of, sometimes we talk about this idea of God having a plan for my life, and we think that God's plan for us is the same kind of plan as that we would make for ourselves. And when we make a plan, I don't mean just like the same things, I mean the same kind of plan, right? So when we make a plan, it's like, okay, step one, this happens. Step two, that happens. Step three, that happens. Step four, that happens. I don't know. Is that how we make plans? Maybe, Kathy, your plans are a little bit more like God's, because God's plans for us are, here's where I want you to be and what I want you to become. But it's not like, you know, on day one you're going to get up and you're going to eat Weet-Bix for breakfast and you're going to have it with banana and, you know, and then you're going to go to work and then you know there's nothing wrong with those things. But I think God's plans for us include things like this. God's plan is to save you, to give you salvation and a future, and to give you hope and to give you joy. God's plan is for holiness. God's plan is to conform you into the image of Christ, and he will do things in your life that help you actually get conformed into the image of Christ. And I think he's far less worried about what kind of car you drive or what you eat for breakfast or what job you have and things than he is about how your character is being shaped and how your character is being formed. Does that kind of make sense? Now, does God see and understand and know every detail of our life? We just kind of read that scripture, didn't we? You know, we know other scriptures that say, God, you number every hair on our head, and not a sparrow falls to the ground and you don't notice. Now, there's a difference. Do you kind of get the difference, though? There's a difference between God seeing and knowing all of the details of our life and all of those details actually being mapped out. And what this actually, because when we kind of get into that mindset of going, well, you know, God has this plan and it includes, you know, all these minor details and what I eat or don't eat, or, you know, who I'm friends with or who I'm not friends with, or what car I drive or where I work, and, you know, then it brings with it a whole bunch of fear about, am I out of God's will? You know, if I eat toast instead of cereal for breakfast, am I going to be out of God's will for my life? Oh, sorry, Matthew. Yeah. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, so I think of God's will as being like this, you know, there are things where he's directing us and he's shaping us, but we kind of, you know, we don't need to kind of panic about every detail. There's no right or wrong football teams to follow. Sorry, Lynn.
Yes,
go Crows, go Crows. No. You know, but it's like, you know, if some really ignorant and unwise person chooses to barrack for Port Power instead of the Adelaide Crows, like, does that mean, you know, they're not out of God's will? Okay, let's not degenerate into talking about trivial things, but you get the point, right? You get the point. God has a plan for you. God wants to shape you and mold you into the image of Jesus. And this is part of God's plan. God's plan is for you to move towards holiness, to move closer to him. Each one of us is part of the body of Christ. And so God has given you gifts to support the church, to support the body. And part of his will is that you discover those, that you learn those things that he has input within you and use them to bring glory to him and to build up the body of Christ. Okay, so we need to understand those things. God doesn't want us to be uninformed. The other thing God doesn't want us to be is misinformed. So uninformed is when we have no knowledge. What's misinformed? When we have the wrong information. And sometimes that's worse because we actually think that we know the right thing, but we've kind of got bad information, we've got wrong information. Now, I'm sure that I'm not the only one here who's ever seen spiritual gifts being used in a wrong way. Spiritual gifts and things within the church can be misused and abused, and that's disastrous. It can be disastrous. In the wrong environment, if we don't have, particularly when we're talking about, you know, young new believers, new Christians, hopefully that for those of us who are mature Christians, we can kind of go, well, you know, we understand people make mistakes and all those kind of things, but sometimes there are abuses of these things. Let me talk to you, show you a scripture, and as so we're in 1 Corinthians 12, if you still got your Bibles open there. Paul talks about spiritual gifts and he talks about being part of a body, and he says, you know, now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. And in the next chapter he goes on, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the first few verses here, it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, what does that sound like? Spiritual gifts. Thinking spiritual gifts, because he's just been talking about that. What does it sound like? Tongues and interpretation of tongues, right? So he's saying, you know, he's just explained all these gifts. He's just given them all these gifts. And the church at Corinth, they're using lots of spiritual gifts, okay? But he says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What is he saying? I'm not helping anybody. I'm not building up the church. Nobody is being strengthened or growing because of what I'm saying. Because of, you know, I might be operating in, you know, speaking in tongues and all this kind of stuff, but it's not helping anybody. He goes on, verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. What other spiritual gifts are you seeing? Verse 2, what's the first one? If I had prophecy. Okay, prophecy, we've got if I understood all of God's secret plans. Wisdom, yep. had all knowledge. Okay, so words of knowledge, gifts, words of knowledge. If I had such faith that I could move mountains, isn't faith one of the spiritual gifts too? Miracles. Okay, so you can see what Paul's getting at. Like he says, it doesn't matter if, you know, he's kind of explained all these spiritual gifts and gone, these are all, you know, incredible things. These are all things that we need to be operating within the church for the church to be effective and the church to be powerful. There'll be, you know, Holy Spirit stuff going on, and there'll be words of tongues and interpretation, and there'll be miracles, and there'll be faith, and there'll be prophecies, and God will be speaking through us and into our midst. But if we do it without love, what are we? Nothing. Why? Why is it nothing if we do it without love? Because it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't build anybody up. Spiritual gifts are always, always, always to build up the church. Spiritual gifts are about strengthening believers. If our motivation is anything other than caring about people, then there is something very, very wrong. And it's easy. And I think this is one of the things that Paul's addressing in the Corinthian church. It seems that there was kind of like this, Lord, those who had gifts that were seen as being superior were lording it over and kind of boasting about how I've got the gift of tongues, I've got the gift of this, I've got the gift of prophecy, and all you've got is serving. Ha 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 ha. Do you know what I mean? And so Paul's kind of, he's doing this and saying, if your motivation is to somehow build yourself up, then you're missing the most important ingredient in the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, which is love. Okay, so it's important for us to not be uninformed. It's important for us not to be misinformed. How do we get informed? How do we get rightly informed? There's a few things that we can do, you know, and very first thing, I think, is to look at what God said to us in Scripture. We got some great Scripture passages. Okay, we need to discover, so we look to Scripture and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to discover those things. Okay, yeah. When you're not sure what a gift is or how to use it, you ask the person who gave it to you. That's generally a good idea, isn't it? You think, if this person gave me this and I don't know what it's for, chances are they understand how this is going to benefit me, and that's why they gave it to me. Yeah? Okay, so we need to discover our gifts so that they can become useful, so that we can use them in order to build up the church. Spiritual gifts are to serve the body. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, God has given you, each of you, a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Who's God given gifts to? Some of you? One or two of you? Each of you. Use them well to serve one another. Gifts are given to strengthen the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, if you read on a little bit, that says a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Who's it given to?
Each of us.
So we can help each other. You can't really get much more clear than that, can you? A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. There's this little passage in Romans chapter 1. Now, you think if there was anybody in the Bible other than Jesus who could say, I've got some, you know, wonderful spiritual gifts and I'm going to come and minister to you all, it would be the Apostle Paul, right? What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. And What he's saying is, I'm going to come and I'm going to share the gifts that have been given to me, because that's going to help you grow strong, right? That's we find no problem at all in going, the Apostle Paul could do that. He could say that No problem. But look at verse 12, what he says. He says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith. Yep, no problems. But he says, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. So even the Apostle Paul recognizes, he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to share my spiritual gifts, the things that God has gifted me with. I'm going to come and use them to help build you up. But then the things that God has given you, you need to use them to help build me up. Paul says, I want to come and I want to be built up and encouraged and strengthened by your gifts. So if even Paul needs it, I think you and I probably do too. Yeah? Okay, I've got three steps. And you could probably come up with more, but I've got three. All right? So step number one, desire. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 31 says, so you should eagerly or earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. You should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. We should have a heart that says, I see people in need around me. My brothers and sisters, I want to help to strengthen them in their faith. God, give me something that comes from you that will help to build someone up. Okay, so desire. Number two, study it. Read and study passages of Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. If you want to understand them, if you want to get to know what they're all about, if you want to learn. Now, when we kind of look at passages of Scripture, there's a whole bunch. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14. You could look at Ephesians 4. You could look at Romans 12. There's some stuff in 1 Peter chapter 4. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And we're going to be doing that over the next few weeks. I want to kind of give you a bit of a head start, and we'll walk through some of that together and share some of my spiritual gift with you and talk about some of the different types of spiritual gifts and give you a bit of a head start, crash course in some of it, and then you can go away and explore it a little bit further. But I think it's really important to remember, like, my understanding of these passages of Scripture is that none of them are actually intended to be exhaustive. None of them are intended to actually be complete lists of all the spiritual gifts that anybody could ever have. Why do I think that? Well, one of the things that kind of is a little bit of a clue for me is that Paul writes about different things to different churches and he mentions different things. Okay? And sometimes he'll mention, you know, five things to this church. And then he'll write to this church and he'll mention three of those things and three completely different things. And then he'll write to this church and he'll take one of them and two of them and, you know, and a few different ones. You know, and so I think when Paul's writing, he's kind of trying to encourage them in maybe in the things that are needed, the things that are lacking, or, you know, he's just kind of giving some examples to try to prompt and stir their thinking. But if we kind of go, oh, well, you know, I think that, you know, the Holy Spirit might have given me an ability or a gift, or, you know, what he's telling me when I'm listening to him is this, but, you know, that's not in the list in Ephesians 4, or it's not in the list in, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, so therefore it must be wrong. You know, we kind of go, okay, maybe I ought to just listen to the Holy Spirit and just kind of do what he's putting on my heart to do and not get too stressed about what it's called. I think that it's possible to get too hung up on what a spiritual gift, you know, wanting to name our spiritual gifts and go, well, I'm an apostle, or, you know, I'm a prophet, or, you know, I have a gift of discernment, or, you know, whatever, you know, I'm a pastor, teacher, or whatever the kind of thing, and, you know, and we kind of get in our mind wants to jump into things and define and lock them into, you know, this is what that means and that's what my responsibilities are. And, you know, if anybody ever asks me to do something else, I can say, no, that's not my gift. You know, the Holy Spirit couldn't possibly be asking to go and, you know, talk to my neighbour because I'm not an evangelist, you know. You know, Holy Spirit couldn't possibly ask me to interpret that word of tongues because, you know, that's not my gift. Or, you know, so we can kind of, some of those things can be really helpful for us in terms of understanding and gaining information and helping to understand ourselves. You know, we can do spiritual. The other night we gave out, Friday night, and our kids have been doing some, you know, those little questionnaires that help you work out what some of your spiritual gifts might be. And those things can be really helpful. as long as we understand what they are and what they're designed to do and what they're not designed to do. And I think we should be very, very careful about ever putting limits on what the giver of gifts, the Holy Spirit, can do in us. Because if he wants us to have a gift, he can give it to us at any time, can't he? He's not restricted. He's not limited. If he says, right now I need you to have this gift, so I'm going to give it to you, who are we to say, oh, hang on a minute, that's not my gift? I tell a story, some of you might have heard me tell this story about my parents when they were planting a church at Narracourt. It was a very small church plant. They had a building and there was a piano in this building, an upright piano. And they didn't have any other musicians or didn't have money to buy instruments, whatever. My mum had played a bit of guitar and knew a bit of music theory, but had never really touched a piano in her life. And as they were going into this building and they were checking it out and where they were going to start their church meetings, the Holy Spirit just impressed on her heart to go and sit down at the piano. She's like, that's weird. I don't play the piano. And so she did, and the Holy Spirit just says to her, play a song, And so he actually gave her this gift out of nowhere because it was what was needed in that church at that point in time. The Holy Spirit gave a gift, creative gift, for the church to be able to worship. As the church grew, as more musicians came in and the worship team began to build up, that disappeared. That was gone. She does not play the piano now. Okay, so the giver of gifts, and as it says in Corinthians, that's a great example, but as it says in Corinthians, it's he who determines who gets what and when and where and how. And we don't get to choose that. All we get to do is choose what we do with it when he gives it. Okay. So we study it. Learn about your gifts. And that's what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks, hopefully helping you to do as we talk about different gifts, what they mean, how to recognize them. We're hoping that that will help you a little bit. And number three, use it or lose it, baby. This is what we've been talking about, isn't it? This is the point of going through this process, is so that we can use it. What good is a gift that simply sits on the shelf? You may as well have never been given it to begin with, for all the good it's doing anybody. How do you develop a gift? Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us gifts and things that we actually need to develop. And part of that is using it helps us to develop it. Using it helps us to develop it. Sometimes things aren't ready to, they're at different stages, okay? Now, some of you probably would say, that's fairly obvious. We can see different people that might have the same gift but operating at different levels, operating at different kind of capacity. A gift of evangelism could be in someone who's just reaching out to their next door neighbor, or the people in their social group, or it could be someone who's speaking at a crusade to thousands of people, like Mr. Graham was in Adelaide and around our capital cities recently. It's the same gift, isn't it? It's a gift of evangelism, but it's being operated at a different level, a different capacity. So where do you begin? You might identify something and go, well, I've got this gift, or I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to look for ways to help somebody in this area or in this kind of ministry is what really, I feel like that's where the Holy Spirit and I are really partnering and functioning and going gangbusters together when I move in this area. How do you develop that? Where do you begin? The simple answer is that you start where you are now. and it might be, you might go, well, I've got a gift of preaching. That doesn't mean I'm going to put you up here next Sunday morning. And some of you are probably breathing a sigh of relief about that, because you were determined to make sure that wasn't one of your gifts. But but it might be, you have a teaching gift, Maybe it could be as simple as, you know, offering to share something or bring something along to a Bible study at a home group. Or it might be just, you know, helping somebody else to understand something that, you know, you've got a handle on. It might just be so simple. It might be, you know, you might go, I need to actually enroll in a course to actually get some more knowledge of the Bible and stuff, you know, enroll in a Bible course, and that's going to actually give me a foundation for then being able to teach others. Just because we have a gift doesn't mean it's necessarily not needing to be developed. When Paul wrote to Timothy, there's a couple of scriptures that, you know, Paul makes it clear to Timothy that we have the ability to neglect gifts or to stir them up, to develop them and to fan them into flame. Probably some familiar scriptures, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, he says, "Don't neglect the spiritual gift that you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters." 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." Okay, so we're going to be exploring this a whole bunch more over the next, not next week, but in the kind of the weeks after. So hopefully that's given you a little bit of an introduction. Hopefully that's stirred within you some desires to go, maybe I need to explore what my gifts are because I'm not sure. Or maybe I need to look for ways to develop my gift because it's kind of, you know, I might be able to do little things, but I'm not very confident with, you know, I can work on it, I can build it up, and I believe that God wants to do more. Or maybe I need to start using my gift that God's given me, having that conviction that says, this is what God wants me to do, to bless the church. I don't want to hold it back or just keep it to myself or keep it on the shelf anymore. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you that you are a good father who gives awesome, incredible and wonderful gifts to your kids. And Lord, we know that we don't deserve those, that they are given freely because you just show us grace. Lord, because you love us and you care about us and you want good stuff for us. But Lord, we want to say thank you. And Lord, we want to be people that, I guess, don't just ignore that, don't just put that on the shelf, something so wonderful. Lord, we want to activate that within our lives. Father, we pray over the next few weeks as we begin to think about this, as we begin to listen to those promptings of your Spirit within us about our spiritual gifts. Lord, that you would help us to, I guess, identify and understand, to learn and to grow in those. And to, I guess, to have that conviction and that boldness to say, I'm going to have a go. I'm going to step up. I'm going to use it. And maybe I'll make some mistakes, but people will be gracious with me. And that's how I'm going to learn, because that's what you want for us, God. We thank you that you've given us a place and a purpose to play within your body and within your family. And that's a wonderful thing. And we give you thanks and just appreciate you for that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.